Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from 1 Peter, it's actually chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we've talked about suffering a lot, but coming up again this Sunday, and it's just something that's a part of life, really, right? And that's why it needs to be talked about. Sometimes we view suffering like, have you ever played a game at a carnival, like whack-a-mole? You know, the mole pops up and you have to smack it so that it comes down. Sometimes you kind of view suffering in your life like that, that every time it comes up, you just want to smack it to get rid of it, right? You get sick, you want to go to the doctor and figure out what's wrong and get the medication that will take care of it. If you're in a relationship and there's conflict, you want to avoid it or just ignore it, pretend like it's not happening, maybe run away from it. Or maybe when you're hurting emotionally, you want to try to find a quick fix too, right? And try to go to your favorite habits, or it might be an addiction. A lot of times it's more harmful than good for us when we try to get a quick fix for our negative emotions. And it's pretty normal too when we suffer from the wrongs that people do to us that we try to solve that by making somebody else hurt as well, right? Tend to try to make other people suffer when we suffer at their hands. It's our own ideas and our own thoughts to try to fix suffering without the help of God. It doesn't usually work, does it? It just creates more problems. As we look at things like God's Ten Commandments and His Word, it's not something that He gives to us because He wants us to, you know, suffer, or wants our lives to be terrible. It's the stuff that He gives us so that it will go well for us, so that things will go good, and that we'll work out the way that He designed and created us to live, to be in relationship with Him and one another. There's blessing in following God's Word. So, we can look at suffering and we can say, oh, I'm just going to try to get rid of all my suffering in my life. We can do things like ignore it or run away from it or hear stuff on the news and so we just kind of block our minds out to that. Or maybe judge people and say, oh, they just deserve it. We'll just leave them alone. But even if we do things like that, we don't rid ourselves of suffering, do we? We still find that we still suffer. We still suffer the pain of lack of fulfillment when we don't help other people and only think about ourselves. We suffer the pain of loneliness when we shut ourselves out from relationships because we want to protect ourselves from pain, right? Often if we're in a close relationship, we're going to get hurt. It's the way things go as fallen human beings relating to each other. So we might try to solve it on our own. We might try to get rid of it. But the truth is, we'll never actually be able to get rid of suffering. And so what 1 Peter is saying is that's not the goal of life. The goal of life is not to get rid of it. The goal of it is to suffer for the right reasons. Not to suffer for sin, but to suffer for following God. We're doing God's will. That is a gracious thing. That is a good thing in life. There's plenty of sin out there, isn't there? There's plenty of times in our life when we suffer for doing the wrong things, isn't there? It's not very hard to think about, really. I don't know. I don't have to think about it much in my own life, right? But I first really started to think about this probably in my year of vicarage. This verse has really been in my mind, in my heart. And I can say God still has a lot of work to do in me. Right? We are a work in progress. The truth is, anybody can suffer for sinning. It's not difficult. It's not abnormal. But as Christians, we're called to something higher because we have a new identity because of Jesus' resurrection. An identity that knows that we don't have to try to fix suffering on our own, because that's what Jesus did at the cross by his death, by his suffering for all of our sins. He made certain that one day it would all go away. He restored all the brokenness from sin in the world. We don't have to try to fix suffering, the problem of suffering. We don't have to live for ourselves. We have one Jesus who has lived for us, given us his righteousness, clothed us, so that now we can live for other people. We don't have to try to prove our worth through hurting other people or running them down. God has given us that wonderful worth. Worth that says you were worth dying for, worth suffering for. So anyone can suffer for sin. But it's Christ, and Christ in us as Christians, that suffers for what is good. Suffers for the enemy. Suffers for other people even when we don't deserve it. Now, I don't think we're having the same kind of fiery trials that they did in Peter's day, where they faced real persecution. They could have been thrown out of their homes if their father wasn't a Christian. He had the rights under Roman law to kick them out if he wanted to. They're surrounded by Romans that were unbelievers. Christianity wasn't legal until the 300s. So a lot of times they had these periods of persecution, very intense, where they kill and hunt down Christians. Then there was the Jews, other religions, that, especially the Jewish people, that didn't like Christianity one bit and wanted very hostile and hateful towards them. So I don't think we're dealing with that sort of stuff today in America. But we do still suffer. And there are plenty of opportunities out there, aren't there, to suffer for the name of Jesus. I want you to think about something that Luther talked about when people were wondering if they should go to communion or not. He should say, first look at yourself and check that you have a pulse. And check you have a pulse. That means if you're alive, you have a sinful nature in you that's waging war against your very soul and your spirit. And what it wants to do is it wants to rebel against God's will. So if you want to resist that, there'll be times of pain and going against what that old sinful flesh wants to do. Next thing Luther said is, look at yourself and see if you're still in the world. Are you still in the world? Yeah, we're still here on planet Earth. Well, look around and tell me if you think this is a world that loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength and loves each other. It's not. Again, We're going against the culture of our world if we want to live a life of love for God and one another. If we want to hold Jesus' word close to our hearts, we live in a culture that doesn't care. Doesn't want to. And lastly, we should think about if the devil still exists. And he does. 1 Peter says he's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is no joke. The devil's out there to attack and steal our souls. He wants to make us suffer for being Christians. So that we give up hope. So that we doubt Jesus and his wonderful promise and identity that he's given to us. We have our sinful nature. Chapter 2, Peter says it wages war against us. We have the world around us that Peter talks about. It's really addressing the Christians here as they live in a pagan culture. We have the devil around us, crawling around. There's plenty of crosses for us to bear, suffering to go through. Peter gives us a new way to approach this. Not in avoidance, not in our own self-help, not in doubting the Lord because of it. But Peter gives us a path of joy, path of glory. He says, rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, in verse 13, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Rejoice. Doesn't make sense. It's all right. But if we believe in Jesus, it does make sense. Because this is what Jesus did for us. He suffered for doing what was right, which is following God's will. All the way to the cross. The people who hated him, the people that were his enemy. He suffered. That was the abundant life. Picture of Jesus. You heard a couple weeks before, this is, I came that they may have life and life in abundance, Jesus says in John 10. Now today in John 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life. Not in avoiding suffering. Not in lifting yourself higher than everybody else. This is eternal life. What is it? That they know you. And me. Whom you have sent. That we know Jesus. Not in a cognitive way, but in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in our mouth, as our life. Christ is your life, your strength, your might. So as we suffer for doing what is right, we also share in Christ's sufferings. Who was the one who suffered for what was right, even to the point of death. As we share in Christ's sufferings, that also means Christ is with us, suffering. He is alive. And he works through his church, his people, to continue his ministry to draw people towards him, to redeem the world. So as we suffer for doing what is right, it is not just ourselves, but literally Christ in us, who also suffers and carries us. He tells us he is with us. Chapter 2, 1 Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That was why he came. And we would be dead to those sinful desires and live to righteousness, which means following God's will. Knowing without a doubt that Jesus is Lord, that he loves us, though there were be those who try to shame us for following Christ, in verse 16, there will be those who try to shame us. Well, they're not. There are those who try to shame Jesus. But it says he endured the cross and scorned the shame. He knew he didn't have to listen to that. Because he was doing the Father's will. And that was the right thing. It'll be those who shame us for following Christ and for our beliefs and values and actions as they conflict with the world, the beliefs of other people. But we need not be ashamed. Rather, we rejoice, knowing we are doing God's will. And we rejoice knowing suffering doesn't mean that he doesn't care for us, but rather that he wants us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for you even in the midst of all the suffering that's going on. He cares. He remains faithful. Therefore, in verse 19, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. He cares. He's faithful. He doesn't change. He's our Creator, which means he's our provider. He knows what we need. He knows what life's all about. He's with us. He cares for us. He's faithful. He blesses us. Let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name. There's blessing because the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. Fourthly, he gives us community. In verse 9, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. God gives us brothers and sisters who are going through the same thing, have the same enemy, have the same trials, similar experiences. He gives us to help each other, to encourage one another. And lastly, he promises us glory, doesn't he? In verse 10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The more you suffer, the more you are overjoyed when it is done. Right? As we suffer with Christ, the more we go through, the more joy we will have when he is revealed and he makes everything new. Like a volcano waiting to erupt. The joy. The people of God when Jesus returns takes all the pain away. See, the suffering we have is a little while. The glory God gives us is forever. So it's worth it. It's a joyful thing to suffer in a relationship where they hurt you. You don't get what you want. You're not treated the way you deserve. It's a joyful thing to respond with love and to pray for our friendships, in our marriages, in our families. with unbelievers who don't yet know Jesus. It's a good and a joyful thing to continue to love and to continue to follow Christ. And it's a good and a joyful thing to resist the devil and to suffer for doing the right thing, not giving in to temptation again and again, but entrusting ourselves to Jesus who has overcome. It's a good and joyful thing to take care of the weak and the sick, even when it seems like, what are we doing this for? I could be doing something else, couldn't I? It's a good and a joyful thing. We're doing the will of God. It's a good and a joyful thing to suffer for the name of Jesus. As Peter says, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. Those sufferings where it seems like this is meaningless, or it seems like it's not doing anything, nobody's watching, God tells us that in that His name is being lifted up. His love, His mercy is being lifted up as He works it through you and through me. And it's that promise and the promise of glory allows us to joyfully go forward to do the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.